This week on Clown College.
Oh, we got to take you out to milk some cows. I know somebody with a cow.
Hey, I'd happily do it with pleasure.
I bet.
It's like one of those creature things he's been wanting.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're milking cows.
Huh? Why you say it like
Why
that?
Why did I? Yeah. Dude, let me back up. Why the fuck did I say it like that?
I don't know, man.
I was just saying, yeah, we're milking cows. Like, we're all going to be milking cows.
That came
right?
from somewhere deep inside.
Yeah.
That's
that
something
did.
You've been thinking about
no,
for a while
man, no,
without realizing you were thinking about it.
I got nothing on cows, man. You got to get that milk.
Okay.
Welcome to Clown College. We have profound knowledge in many ways to elevate and make your sound polished. So if you want to hear a little honest few takes on our ways to make it as a comic, then stick around for a while to fit down the clown. We got the guests right now just to show you how.
Let's all go to Clown College, baby.
Shit's overrated, man.
Mm-hmm. It's a big step.
I do like it though.
You enjoy
and
your piece.
And I can't go back. Yes,
that's right.
Because it's my roommates. Thankfully, they're chill dudes. They are not partiers or anything, and they clean up after themselves.
That's huge.
Yeah, but I haven't even been there. I've been living in a hotel for the past month and a half.
Whose name is on the lease? Is it? Do you have the lease, or all three of y'all?
I think it's under Blake's name, which that's
makes
how
sense.
It should
yeah,
be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he's the responsible. You pay him your part.
We're in like a portal thing. We can all log in and pay our part.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, things have changed since roommates in an apartment.
For the internet and stuff, I cash app him the money. I trust him. He's a good dude. Wears collared shirts and stuff.
Hey, so the new thing is if you're using online, you know, payment, if you're using Venmo or Cash App or, you know, Zelle Pay or whatever, if you go over $600 a year, there's a special form you got to get for your tax filing every year.
Are you serious?
I'm 100% serious.
Hold on. So if you go under 600, sending or receiving?
Either one. It's
that's
actually
stupid. I mean, everybody's going to go over $600.
It's probably receiving. Yeah. So that's the thing. So if you're constantly trading back and forth, like, hey, I'll pick up your meal, you pick up my meal, you know, all that kind of stuff, you've got to at least file the form with your taxes.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I did that on this tax cut.
Yeah.
I'll try that next
time. It's new. IRS is new.
Yeah. They'll start to kick it back. And what they're looking for is whether or not you're actually making money, if it's income.
If it's sale. Yeah. If you're like, income. Yeah, yeah.
There's a certain margin for the back and forth stuff, but just be aware that that's a thing.
Mm-hmm. They had to crack down on that because people were borrowing so much money from Cash App because they started doing that money lending thing, and people would just get crazy debt.
You can get money lending for DoorDash now.
I've seen it, and I tell you what, I think that is the thing that scares me most about where we are as a country. If you've got to break down your Taco Bell delivery into four equal payments, you probably just need to cook at home. I'm serious. You can't borrow money for anything smaller than a Taco Bell purchase. You know what I mean? So at that point, like, if you can't afford your Taco Bell purchases, where are we in our whole economy? Are we able to make, you know, next year's payments or 2 years' payments?
Absolutely not.
We're at the bottom end of our economy, is what I'm saying.
If you're at the point, I've been there, bro.
Buy gold, get out of the U.S. dollar. I know.
I've been there. Like, if I would have, back in the day, if I would have had that option, I would have 100% did it. Like, I would have just been like, that was dumb. I was like, I don't have any money. Fuck, I'm hungry. I'm getting a steakhouse now. So if I'm borrowing it and I have to pay payments on it, definitely getting the most expensive thing.
Yeah.
See, that's how I would have thought back then. Now I know it's dumb as fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, the dumbest shit you could ever do is to put DoorDash on layaway. It's crazy.
Or anything on layaway. And this is an interesting thing, right? That I listened to a guy say that debt is really just a claim on future earnings. When you think of it that way, that changes everything. When you go into a little bit of debt here, you're putting a claim on next month's paycheck.
That's true.
Or next week's paycheck. Debt is a claim on future earnings. That just that understanding changes the way you see everything.
You look like you're going dead on buying radiators. How are you doing that, bitch?
That's how I buy my action figures, man.
He's got to intimidate them.
Like, I'll do a car payment on them.
On action figures?
Yeah.
Like a
Klarna? What do you mean card payment?
Like if it's like a limited edition, I'll be like $15. We'll start off, and then
how much do these things cost?
Oh, like 50.
Brandon, if you can't buy it, then you just don't buy it.
Yeah, if you don't have the extra 50, just hang tight.
Action figures.
Just wait
brother.
A while, then they'll come down in price when people realize they're not actually worth anything. Yeah. You're looking at somebody who grew up in the 80s. My mom had invested heavily in the Beanie Baby craze of the 1990s.
Yeah. Damn.
I mean, we had all these rare Beanie Babies that were going to supposedly be worth $1,500 or whatever. Yeah, that's why I went into ROTC for college.
Hell yeah, man.
Brandon, how many of these things have you financed?
What do you mean? How many times have I used Klarna?
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it depends on life situations. Like, I'll be like, oh, man, let me do that.
How many times? Give me a rough estimate.
Well, thankfully, I don't owe nothing now because I always pay it on time. But,
Brandon, how many times have you used this?
How many times have you used it? Once a month.
Okay, so now. Wait. All right, so once a month you buy an action figure.
Not just action figure, like life stuff, like anything. If
okay.
I need
okay.
A book or something for class. Something
like that's reasonable.
Yeah, yeah.
That's reasonable.
I figure that's more rare. That's every once in a while. I'm like, man, we can't afford that right now.
Mm. Yeah. I feel like you're lying to us.
No.
I feel like you're fibbing a little bit.
I look like I'm lying. Maybe it's this tank top I found in the closet.
You think what?
But
the tank top made me say it.
But yeah, man, it's like nowadays I'm like, nah, man.
What? Nah, no, okay,
gotta get stuff.
Now you don't know. You gotta know. You guys are young.
Oh yeah, it's a reward.
I didn't know until I was well into my 30s. Yeah.
Do you have an emergency fund at all?
Emergency fund?
Yeah.
Dan.
All right. So listen.
Just discover. Discover.
You do need to have. You do need to have a savings account with just at least $1,000.
Ooh, I haven't even seen that.
Yeah, yeah. You need to get that set up.
Have you ever had $1,000 in a bank account?
The only time I've had $1,000 is when I got a loan from school.
Yeah, so see, you know what I'm saying?
That was it.
Man. Right.
So there you go. You got to think you're working right there.
I know, but you're working, right?
Public, part time.
Yeah. Look, if you got to build it up $10 at a time,
mm-hmm.
it's worth it.
That's what I'm going to do. I mean, I do have like the 401k.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that's.
Oh, you got a 401k?
Yeah, but that's it. Like, I mean, nothing.
I mean, he's been there for 14 years.
You would think. I've been there since I was in middle school, so. I was 14, now I'm 22.
Yeah, so now Publix is a great deal. Publix is a privately owned company, right?
Yeah.
And do you have stock in Publix? You have stock options because you've been an employee?
You do.
You should.
I think they do automatically enroll you. I haven't really looked into it, but I might actually.
You should. That might be more. Worth more than you think right now, so just make sure that you protect that.
And he's about to pass. He only has one more test.
He was telling me
that's more exciting. Test. Get a 79 or at least an 80 on it.
And that's exciting.
We got our certificate.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
So after this though, then you got to tighten up on your financials because you want to get an apartment.
Yes, I do.
So then that's when the savings come into play,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to worry about paying the whole deposit and then all of that rent for the first month all in one go.
Yeah, that's right.
You save it, and you'll have something, and then we'll help you find stuff for the place. But get your main thing, save you enough money, get you a place. That has to happen.
True, yeah.
You're married now, you got to get you a place.
Yeah, especially once I get into, like, once I know I'm in the fire department, because that's the one that mainly pays.
Mm-hmm.
Once I get into that, that's when I'm.
But you get paid once you start getting into the school, right, for fire department?
Fire department, yes. Once you start doing academy training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you start to get paid. And then you gotta keep that up.
Yes.
But you gotta pass everything.
Saving up for a new apartment and a better car than this one.
Mm-hmm.
It's acting weird, shaking now.
Yeah.
And then the lock button keeps turn like the light keeps coming on. I'm like, I know it's locked.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's locked. Why is the light and they keep on clicking the highway?
Yeah. Yeah, that's not safe.
Dude, that's not. Like, now I gotta go up to the flight. Because I'm like, this is bad. It's bad. And I keep trying to fix it. I keep touching.
So you're saying that the unlock.
What happens is the car. I will literally check. I'll be like, okay, let me press this down. I'll press it down manually.
What are you talking about though?
So you know when the door is closed, right?
Okay, yeah.
And it says it's locked. And I'll try to open it. It won't open.
Uh-huh.
My lights, like it'll still like you know when the door is open, that light will come on.
Yeah.
So that light will come on and then it'll flicker. And
so you're not saying actually locked. You're just saying that they're saying the door is open.
Yeah, it'll keep
doors
doing
ajar.
That. Yeah, and it'll keep doing that. And I'm looking at the door and I'm like. I know it's locked, but it's like I still, like, when I get some money, I'm going to try to figure this out.
Yeah.
Didn't you get in the wreck, though?
while back. But even before then, it wasn't doing that. It just started doing that like after a week ago, after I got my oil changed.
You wear your seatbelt?
Every day.
Good.
Dude, I will not.
You gotta have something to keep you in the car.
Especially with that class. It's like after the stuff they showed us, man, I'm good.
Yeah, 100%.
No, everybody got to wear a seatbelt, man.
That's right.
Fuck that. I'm sorry.
Hey, so this has been a fun conversation so far. When does the comedy podcast start? Are we doing it already? Is this?
It's in and out. We don't know what we're doing.
This is
the financial literacy portion of the.
Brought to you by the Rocket Money app.
Let's go.
Dude, I downloaded that. That was a mistake. I didn't need to know how much money I spent. You pay money to see how much money you spent.
Yeah, dude, let me tell you something. Let me tell you a fucking hack. I just started doing that. But ChatGPT, man. Pay for ChatGPT. It takes so much shit. I'm
on Blake's account.
Yeah, so I make a project. I make it I got one for what I need to do to get a house, blah, blah, blah. And it's just your school right there. And then I take my bank statement and put it all in there. I see how much I spend on DoorDash, it could tell me how much I spend on cigarettes and gas, and then what's all bullshit I'm spending on. And then you can finally know, so you know what you're spending your money on.
Yeah.
That's first step.
I've been using it. Me and Blake have been using it. And this is, I was waiting for Dan to get on the podcast so I could talk to him about this. We have a business venture that I think you should support.
Okay.
Our dream.
I'm in.
Our dream. My true dream since retiring from stand-up comedy has been I want to open up an ice cream shop.
Right on.
With my friends. And we're going to call it Milky's. And that's it. We just used the ChatGPT to make a logo. It's a shark with an ice cream cone. It's pretty sick.
Damn. Open up that checkbook, baby.
Yeah. No. Well, first of all, I don't invest in companies. I invest in people. So 100% I'll invest in Milky's if that's what you decide you really want to call it.
Yeah.
Maybe sleep on that one for a bit. That's good.
It has to be that.
I feel like a Milky is something you could pay for in Thailand. You know what I mean? Like, I don't...
Exactly. Well, we plan on expanding eventually.
You want to run that one by Urban Dictionary and just make sure. But, dude, I'm in.
There was a dude on YouTube. This is how deep we got into it. He's like the king of the frozen desserts industry.
Uh-huh.
Of starting your own business and premium frozen desserts. Yeah. He was talking about ice creams and what it takes... Like the infrastructure to get it to what you want it to be, and like the butterfat content,
sure,
and how much air is in,
yeah,
like pushed through the ice cream in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that I was too retarded to do that.
So hold on, ice cream scared you?
Yeah,
come on, man.
That's crazy.
Wait, are you saying that's now crazy. That I've decided to invest, you're backing out?
No, I'm saying that we're gonna have to outsource our our engineering for the.
Don't waffle on me. Unless it's a cone.
Hell yeah.
Well, our other investor.
One joke every 15 minutes is all we promise.
Okay. Yeah. I think it's a great idea. You should do it.
You can have a clown college flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And what would that be?
Neapolitan?
It has to have a hardened fudge cone.
Yes, it does.
What's the candy on the outside? And you dip cone.
Yeah,
it has to be dipped.
Yes, please.
That's the outside, and the inside is a swirl.
Yeah.
Come on.
Back, my forehead.
That's the Clown College fucking cone.
Okay.
Yeah, double that chocolate works. Vanilla swirl.
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
Like the back of my head.
Oh.
Hell yeah. Yeah.
Just like it.
I got a swirl back
here, back
man.
Of Brandon's head.
I do. Like, I have to cover it up because I got the swirl. It's a birthmark.
Oh, you mean a calic?
I guess it's something back here that swirls up.
Yeah.
Like it looks like...
You said birthmark. If you shave your head, is there a mark there?
No, it's like, if it gets cut short like this, you could, like, I have to literally, like, fix it right.
Cause if you shave your head, is there a mark there, like a birthmark on your...
Oh, no. It's like if I have hair. The hair...
it's a cowlick.
I guess it's a cowlick. Can I get free ice cream? No.
Yeah.
Mm.
We'll get you.
And I love you, man.
He's going to be there every day if you give him free ice cream.
You're going to mess up my life.
I feel like we've already kind of started working on that.
It's good.
Yeah.
We've sent you down a dark road.
Yeah, Milky Road, right? Rocky Road. Ben and Jerry's.
The Rocky Road to Milky's, dude.
My bad.
Ben and Jerry's? No.
Fuck them, right?
Yeah, they ain't got shit on us. Dude.
This is exciting. I like it.
No, I sat down and thought about it, and I was like, I could be pretty happy if I did that with my life.
I'm happy.
Damn.
More so than a lot of other things.
Heck yeah. Don't you do that.
What? Encourage them?
Yes.
No, well, 100%.
Damn. What's wrong with that?
I'm in.
How you going to get the milk, though?
That's a great question. I haven't thought about it. We haven't got to that.
You think of logistics of everything?
We buy for
where you where you where you going to make most of your money is summertime, right?
Milk sales.
The underpants from South Park.
So you gonna milk cows, huh?
Yeah.
Cool.
We can try.
Okay, man.
Oh, we got to take you out to milk some cows. I know somebody with a cow.
Hey, I'd happily do it with pleasure.
I bet.
It's like one of those creature things he's been wanting.
Yeah. Yeah, but we're milking cows.
Huh? Why you say it like
why
that?
Did yeah. I, dude, let me back up. Why the fuck did I say it like that?
I don't know, man.
I was just saying, yeah, we're milking cows. Like, we're all going to be milking cows.
That came
right?
from somewhere deep inside.
Yeah.
That's
that
something
did.
You've been thinking about
no,
for a while
man, no,
without realizing you were thinking about it.
I got nothing on cows, man. You got to get that milk.
Okay.
Dude, that's how you got to do it. What type of milk you want? Whole milk?
Mm.
Good, I don't think that's from how you milk the cow.
Yeah, you get which cow has the 2% and which one has the whole.
Oh man, dude.
Well, and if you get a butter cow, you're screwed.
Yeah,
because you try milking it and it just takes forever.
Dude, your forearms gonna be
that
soaked.
Like a bull.
yeah,
kind of.
It'll come out buttery. Thicker consistency than
that. That's when you realize
you
made a mistake.
Huh?
That's when you realize you made a mistake.
How you think you get butter?
Not the bull.
It's the, yeah, it's the fucking it's the bull jizz. That's how butter. That's how you think.
I can't do butter no more, man. That's
is butter good? When you have butter on a toast, is it good?
Yeah, but that has to be a cow.
No, it's bull jizz.
Oh man,
but it hardens.
See, this will make me stay away from butter, man. I feel bad for the bull.
See, you're actually going to make him believe this.
No, and I guess what? I don't. I know it's cow.
But, Brandon, what do you often see on sticks of butter?
Dude, I know it because my friend, he accidentally milked a bull or tried to milk a bull. And he was like, there's no fucking way.
That's just not what I said.
Hey, like guess what? You know what's funny? This wasn't me. This was him. He made that path. I learned from that path. Which, I mean, I knew at the beginning. I knew. I was like, I know.
What that the you fuck? What the fuck is happening?
No. What'd you learn on the path?
Yeah. Well, me, I knew from the beginning. I was like, that's stupid. Because, dude, bull, they don't produce milk, man. They produce the stuff we were just talking about. You know what I mean.
Butter.
Cow yogurt. That's right.
Yeah. That, yeah.
Where were you guys at where you were milking bulls?
I wasn't. He was there. I wasn't there. He told me about it. I was
and
like,
what did he do?
He said he was trying to milk a cow. He thought it was a cow, and he realized it was a bull. Which I'm like, how do you... I don't know.
That sounds like he was like at a rodeo and trying to get the legendary tornado bull sperm to get it to breed.
I don't know where he was, but I'm like, how would you?
Is it the same friend that we met?
Yes.
Mm.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
No, yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I think he told you he thought it was a cow.
Yeah. Huh. Who knows? Maybe he knew.
He asked for Brandon's feet pictures. And
gotcha.
Paid him money for him and all that.
I'm starting to catch on to the fact that I have been drinking the wrong beverage before this podcast. Like, iced coffee was not the direction I needed to take this afternoon.
Oh, no, dude. You really fucking think you're coming, baby?
I'm so lost.
You're right now. Like,
where am I right now?
Well, a lot of people are lost. That's why we have to decipher it when we have to get to the bottom. His friend went jacked off a bull.
Basically.
And then he's telling him that it was he thought it was a cow.
Sometimes people got to do it for medical science.
Mm-hmm.
Animal husbandry requires it sometimes.
Nope,
but
without a doubt.
If he wasn't doing that as part of his job on the farm, then that's just a problem.
He works at Walmart. There's nothing medical.
Yeah.
Well, where do they get the milk, Brandon?
Yeah. Dude,
I'm not even sure that was a bull.
This was just him and the farm. This is him and the farm in the country. Just fucking with animals, cows.
They do that.
Dan, are you a shooter? Are you a good shot with a pistol?
Yeah, pretty good.
You are?
Yeah.
We went shooting with me, Scott, and Alex, and Elliot went shooting with Ian Finance.
Nice. How did that go?
That was so fun. it was the shit. I clearly was the best. And then, first of all, Scott probably was the best, but it was his guns.
That makes a difference.
Yeah.
If you don't understand the trigger squeeze and
that
kind of stuff.
What was it, the 35?
The 45.
The 45 was the good one. 22 and a 45, they
the
shot.
The 9mm was real bad.
Yeah, it was the heaviest fucking trigger, and it was terrible. Mm-hmm. But the rest of them were good. Alex actually did very good on the first time on 22. Just,
oh, nice.
He kept it grouped.
Nice.
You know, kept it grouped on first go around. That's pretty good. He never shooting a pistol. And then Ian did good. Alex shot some footage for him. It's probably
does
out
Ian
on
a, shoot a lot, or was it kind of?
He
a
said
new...
he said he was a shooter.
Oh, okay,
you could tell he shoots.
Yeah, he's into it.
Yeah, he's into it. Scott's
is that a thing in New York City?
It.
Like, I guess did they go to basement ranges
on
or
the streets?
But I think it's more of a like when he travels, people take him. He likes to shoot. I just
That's
feel because
cool.
New York can't be. There's no way New York has a whole bunch of shooting ranges.
They're probably somewhere. I just don't know. Yeah. It doesn't feel like it's part of the culture there.
Yeah.
Like it is here.
Mm-hmm.
Like here we have shooting ranges with bars in them.
Yeah.
Like you shoot first and then go have a drink.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what we did. I was actually
Where'd y'all go?
Bullets and Barrels.
Bullets and Barrels.
In South Huntsville or the one over here on County Line?
South. Probably South.
South Huntsville. Yeah, so that was fun. Then he.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Yeah. And then I got to open for him. Well, I got to do a guest spot on there twice.
You did great.
Appreciate it, man.
You did great.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so scared. We were here, and then it was like Scott just called me like, "You want to do a guest spot tonight at this club?" I'm like, "Fuck yeah," you know. So I would look up who's on there, and I'm really slow. So I look it up, and I'm like, and I swear to God, it said April 25th, and I clicked on it, and I was like, it's a gay black dude, which is fine, but it was like
you don't.
Look, I was listening like, to was I was fine. I was listening to his set, and I was like, oh, he's like smart and articulate, so I don't think his crowd's gonna like me, you know what I mean? So I was nervous, and then I opened the green room door. It's Ian Finance. I was literally shocked. I was like, what the fuck? And he was cool as shit. Like, just sitting in a green room chilling. It was like you just knew him forever. He was a cool dude.
No, that's great. Well, first of all, let me just say, I think smart crowds would like you too. So don't give up on a crowd just because they're there to see a smart comic. You're likable.
Thanks, man.
You're just, it's impossible not to like
you. He didn't say smart.
Man. We're not taking IQ tests again. That was a bad idea from the get-go.
It was a bad
idea. No, that was awesome.
Dan warned me.
Funny. I agree, that was.
Here's to bad ideas in 2024, may they never raise their ugly heads again. But you're likable, and your stuff is smart. And your stuff is smart. And you're getting better. You're comfortable with some of those. You know when the punchline is going to be there, and so you're able to string it out with the audience mm-hmm. a little bit. The audience got ahead of you on that one. They were laughing at the premise.
Yeah.
They were laughing at the premise about Drake. And And they were just chuckling because you were like, you know, Drake's black and Jewish, and I'm black and German.
And there
were like rolling waves of laughter just on that idea.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, so, you know. And then people were laughing again, but you just drew it out. And you're like, better. And then it popped. And it, like just, it was like breaking the dam. It was great.
Yeah,
was
that good. Was that's because of well you. Done. You told me, you're like, just let it sit. Because like, you were like, just let it sit. Sometimes I think a joke's not working. If I let it sit for like just two beats, people will be like, they'll like get it, or like they'll be like, oh my God, what the fuck did he just say?
Yeah.
So that shit has helped me like literally a ton. Since you told me that, since I started doing that, I feel like I can control the crowd with just like looking at them or the way I look or the way I look off. All that shit fucking matters.
Oh, the way you look. So this is something I noticed. Do you mind if I give you notes
here
on the podcast?
Yeah, please,
I've listened to this podcast
He's
enough
too
to
happy
know
about this.
We don't normally talk about notes or comedy of any kind. We don't talk. It's weird to be talking about stand-up on this show about stand-up.
It's about stand-up,
So I feel awkward.
Well, we got to get these two back out there.
But I noticed at sometimes you look down and to the left.
I look down
at the stage and you kind of close your eyes. And that breaks a link with the audience. And I saw it happen last night. But there's other times where you feel comfortable kind of looking out. And I'm telling you, if you don't know where to look, don't look down. Just look out. Because the way the light hits your face, your eyes are prominent. It's a good look. Just keep looking at the audience. Look around. Like you could look over here and look over back, and I think you'd probably even get a laugh for just the knowing look on your face.
Because
when your face is neutral, you look like you've got a secret joke inside. Like you're sharing that moment with the audience. Keep them locked in like that. And then on the ally joke, the ableism.
Yeah.
When you say I fucked him up.
Yeah.
I think you can string that out a little, build it up, kind of build it up.
What
like,
part? How do I?
Like, I didn't have, like, when you're doing your premise, you could add a little bit of detail. right. We're like, I wasn't sure, but they were like, no, you got to do it for the team. This is the big match.
Mm-hmm.
Build it up a little bit. So, you know, and then drop it. I think you could go. Exactly. I think you could go three times bigger on that. Almost sharing with the audience like you're really proud of yourself for how much you fucked him up.
Yeah.
And then, when you pull back from being really, because you're so nice on stage, you're friendly, you're cuddly, right? I think you're so and I'm saying this from the audience's perspective. I mean, you and I, you know how I feel about you already. But yeah, so I think so. If it's surprising if you come in hard, like I fucked him up.
Yeah.
And then go back to I'm an ally. And that, like that whole bit, I think you would get like three different kinds of recognition of laughter.
So you said add like.
I just think that's it's a great joke. I love what you're doing.
I had to wrestle. Okay.
These are just my ideas. This is good
for the crowd, the listeners at home. But no, but me just doing that. I'm not you saying that. But yeah, no, I will do that. So you saying I should add like, I forgot my own joke real quick. Hold on. What was I talking about? Ableism.
Were you talking about ableism?
So like, it's when you don't treat. Okay, it's when you don't treat them like regular people. Should I say regular people? Because I've been saying I really like this is in the joke part of it. I was like because I was like you don't treat people like everybody else.
That's how I say it. I like that.
Yeah.
I like
but,
that.
But I get up there and I say regular people, and I know I just look in the crowd. I'm like didn't mean it like that. And, but like some I don't know why it's in the back of my head to say regular people.
If you want to say regular people as a joke. And then correct yourself with the audience. That could be funny. But
yeah, okay.
I think that's a separate joke from the rest of the bit.
That takes away from it because then they'll really think I'm like mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Because I'm about to say I fucked up a mentally challenged person.
Because you normally say like everybody else.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, like everybody else. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Thank you, man. See, Dan, Dan gives you advice. If you're out there, if you're a comedian in Huntsville, he gives you advice. Listen.
I thought we were just here to talk about comedy.
No, we are.
I feel awkward now even bringing it up.
Because I gave you some on the, because I think you should put your dirty stuff, some of it up front.
Not dirty stuff, the self-deprecating.
Self-deprecating. But a little bite. I want the bite up front.
Because I'm clean, man. I'm clean.
You're clean, but you know, you got bite. Fresh tissue. You got bite, but... It's more towards the end.
No, and I did that exactly. And Amy came out. She hadn't seen me do comedy in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So she came out to see me, and she sat with Jonathan Silver, and they were in the back at Homegrown. And I did that. I switched it up. And first of all, I think your ideas were right. I think they really do work. It changes the flow in a positive direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of builds to some of the things that are later on in my my current 30-minute set. And Amy and Jonathan both told me later that the other one at the table was like, oh, this is different. He's changing it up. You know, because they both noticed the difference in the order.
Okay. Hell yeah.
Which is an indication of how much they've seen my stuff. Like, they're almost as tired of it as I am.
Well, you know, Jonathan. But
yeah, no, it was a good idea. And I think it really, it built that rapport with the audience for later on. And it kept the energy going. So I think that's good.
Because I think everybody, when they see, like, I can listen to Dan talk for hours. I don't care what you do. Just listen to you talk.
God.
It's just.
Is that true, or are you sending me up right now?
No, I'm dead.
Are you taking
people right now who are just listening to this, like, he has a soothing voice.
You do, man.
You're taking the piss out of me right now.
I got some premises that I can pitch to you guys right
now. Let's go.
Dude, this whole thing's becoming a comedy podcast.
I just want to be sure we got all the financial
advice out of the way up front.
These are some that I've written recently, and these are some real bare bones ideas.
It makes me so excited that you're writing again. I freaking love it. We've missed you.
How about this, dude? Self-roast. I look like I got a DUI on a lawnmower.
Yeah, you do.
Zero.
You
turn, do.
Though. No, that's not 0 out of 10.
He's saying a zero turn mode.
Oh, okay.
Zero turn mode.
Yeah.
He said, "I know it's not 0 out of 10." Fuck it.
I wrote a roast for Dom. I don't know why I wrote this, but it says you still have crayons. I thought you ate them all.
That's for him.
Oh, Marina.
Yeah, they eat the crayons.
That's good. Yeah.
See? The idea of talking to your girlfriend, she asks you who's her celebrity lookalike, and you go, "What's his name?" That guy, he was in that thing. Because it's a man.
Yeah.
The best ones are the ones you have to explain.
No, I got it.
Yeah.
The best ones are funny.
Oh, I don't have any of those. Tired of putting the toilet seat down. Date a trans woman. I know Brandon's going to get on the with this one.
That's good.
That's no, good. No, that's hack on top of dangerous on top of hack. I wouldn't. I'm sorry. No, good. There's no bad ideas. Continue.
No, keep it out. You got those more, were my sir. New. I have some okay. older ones.
Yeah, yeah. Some, well, you we, some oldies, you got a good time. Or
I mean, older. I think that so the toilet seat premise is hack is all mm-hmm. get out, right? It's like, you know, the difference between men and women, but it is it could have a new life in the trans conversation. But man, that's not my joke to tell. That's
dude, you can tell any joke. Ugh, you just gotta make it funny.
Yeah, no, like I wouldn't have you, a perspective that I think is funny enough to get away with it.
That joke right there, you know, leave this toilet seat up. It could just be like you're telling a story about like how your girlfriend's mad at you for leaving the toilet seat up, and then it's gonna end up being your girlfriend's trans. Bam,
believable. Yeah,
I had an idea, like a rough framework for a bit about in public restrooms where they combine them and make them like all gender restrooms, like. Instead of having a men's and a women's, now you just have two restrooms that anybody can use.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like you have to, if you're a guy and you go in there, you as long as you're taking a piss or whatever, you got to raise the seat up to piss so that you don't pee on the seat for the next person.
Oh yeah, you got to.
And then you got to leave it up so that if the next person that comes in is an inconsiderate dude, he doesn't piss all over the seat.
So leaving the toilet seat up is considerate.
That's what smart. I think. So at home, I got to leave the toilet seat down. That's being considerate. Mm-hmm. But in public, I think the most considerate thing is to leave it up. But even that is just an idea I have. I don't think there's a joke in there. I'm not sure.
No, I mean, that's right, because if it's already up, the inconsiderates are just going to piss anyway.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. So if you, and then let the woman put it down.
I leave it up specifically to keep it clean for the next lady who comes in.
Yeah. Well, that's
good. Or okay. The next seated urinator that comes in.
Yeah. Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
What type of person am I? I will.
Say it in my
mind.
Come over here.
Yeah. What type of person am I? I piss all over the seat. I don't lift it, but I'll wipe it off with toilet paper.
That's kind of gross.
That's kind of gross. It's inside the seat now, man.
It's considerate, but it's more labor intensive.
Yeah,
you know,
just lift the seat.
Yeah,
it's public.
Well, you put toilet paper and lift the seat.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's public. I don't care.
No, but public, other people. What if you have one of those bubble guts? I know everybody had it here. Well, you just got to drop a deuce somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now you got piss warm seats.
Sitting on piss than y'all.
No,
fuck
good.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, what are you talking about?
You get AIDS. I'm just kidding. Nah, that's blood. That's blood. But you get, I mean, dude, I'm good. I don't want to sit on nobody's piss.
You be all right. You be all right.
Yeah, you're right. My bad. It's blood. That's
but
blood.
No, you're taking all these classes now, right? Yeah. So you've probably had a class on bloodborne pathogens. Yeah. You know you got to put down a thing before you give somebody CPR.
I don't want pee.
It's been on your mind lately.
The funny thing is, you specifically can't get AIDS.
No, you're right. True. You have to get it from blood.
In videos,
you have to get
AIDS,
it from blood.
That's
brought
right.
up like you can't get it from the toilet.
Yeah, but that's still gross. That's still. I don't want to sit on the mask.
You
know,
you
people that got to use stalls, man.
Yeah. I saw graffiti one time at Tulane University. I was in there. It was on the fourth floor of this building where they had a language lab. So it's like fourth floor of a building with no elevators, just like old part of campus, old building, had been around since the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
And the graffiti on the wall, I'm sitting there and I look and it said, this is not an exaggeration, it said, I bled AIDS on this toilet seat and had a date, and it was like 3 days before me sitting there.
Shut the
and
fuck
I'm like,
up.
Who would write that? What is wrong with you people?
Oh, man, no.
This is just, yeah, just keep on going.
So, you know, intellectually, we all know you can't get it that way.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're sitting there reading about it, you're like, maybe I'm done.
I mean, maybe there's
maybe
a chance.
I'm done.
Yeah.
Maybe it's time to go home and shower. I don't know.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be thinking about it all day. I
couldn't
get out my. I'd be talking to ChatGPT so much about
me
that.
Too.
But you sure you can't get AIDS from when somebody blood on the toilet seat? Because what if it gets stuck in the grooves and you get cut by a seat a little bit? You don't know all the way.
You don't.
I'm telling you, you don't know all the way.
See, you think you know stuff until it's right in front of your face.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I don't know if I know it. I've got another bit that I've been thinking about. I'm not sure exactly how to do this one because I got to be sensitive to who I am on stage and what the audience thinks of me immediately. And the premise is something like, yeah, you might think you're really open-minded. You might think you're a fair-minded person. But you don't know what you really believe until you see who your daughter brings home for prom.
Huh. That's great.
Right? When you meet your daughter's prom date, that takes everything you think you believe and makes it real. And then you have to go, you got to go get a quiet 30 seconds and reset. And now I told that one time at an open mic.
Damn. I love this.
I told that one time at an open mic, and it's never gotten past that open mic stage. I'm still working on how to roll that out. But I thought it was really interesting. Somebody came up to me later and was like, "Yeah, dude, oh, it's so interesting. Like, I mean, it's so true. Like, you told that story about how your daughter brought home this black dude for prom," and I was like, "I never said black dude.
No, yeah,
you thought black, motherfucker.
Yeah, yeah, make them be the reason.
I know. Why you got to pollute my word? Yeah. You know, don't keep your words out of my mouth. But
I mean, we're all thinking that, but still.
No. Well, that's the thing. I think everybody's thinking that, right? Because that's what I'm saying.
That's
like,
I
got to be careful about what people see when I walk up there. It automatically, there's a prejudice there. So I've got to be real careful about the audience's perception. I work around it or work with it. Like, use their preconceptions.
So everybody's thinking 100, like, I'd say it's going to be 90% of the people out there going to be thinking, you're thinking, if she brings a black guy home, and then you can switch it on his head and be like, he was a Catholic. I mean, something like, you know, and then make them the racist ones and be like, what the fuck are you guys thinking? What race were you thinking? Yeah. And you could pick on.
Right. Yeah. I just didn't want my daughter to date a guy from Georgia.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? Yeah.
Yeah. Alabama.
No, but that is the right way to do that. Like, set it up. You kind of make a little joke in there and it's sort of interesting, but then that ends up being the premise. And the real joke is, oh, what did you think I said?
Yeah.
Yeah. That could be good.
Everybody here, I don't care what Brandon, what race were you thinking, or what person were you thinking about?
Oh, when Dan was talking about maybe black. Who knows? Yeah.
Well, I was looking
right now. I don't know why. I thought, like, everybody in there. I was like, oh, no, I wouldn't care who came in that house.
Yeah.
Unless they were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you think.
Because we're not racist.
Until they come in with like a face tattoo. You know? Yeah. I mean, there's always something, right? He's got like teardrops or whatever.
You got a problem.
Mike Tyson like tribal thing up the side of his head.
If my daughter brought home a Machine Gun Kelly type of white, it would ruin me.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I would probably try to think of a way to get him killed. I couldn't have that around. I couldn't have that around my baby. No. It just won't happen.
I get what you're saying.
I guarantee he's going. Is you know what I'm saying though?
Yeah,
you know exactly the type of white I'm talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like that dude on We're the Millers, where he's got that no regrets tattoo backwards.
Exactly,
on his
dude.
No regrets? None.
Nah.
Whatsoever.
Yeah.
No regrets.
That was just every father of every girlfriend I've ever had. Their faces have dropped so fucking far when I walk up to the door, dude. It was bad. When I started dating my girlfriend now, I had hair down to like here and all curly. And I had one earring, and the tattoo I pulled up, and it was just.
But you had one earring in the right.
Yeah. It's no longer a gay thing, Dom.
But when we were growing up, which one? I don't even remember which one it was.
But you gotta have faith, the faith. It's
right though, right? I can't remember either.
I can't remember what the deal was.
I know it was like one. It was one side that you could have. This is when everybody.
You can search this up and see.
Yeah,
you could
see what's just search what's the gay.
You could have one, and I think if you had it in your left ear, you're okay.
That's what I think.
That's what I. Oh, but look, I never paid attention.
What does it say?
Let me click on that. That's crazy. That's the first.
I never paid attention to that.
Oh wow!
There's no such thing as a gay earring.
It says the idea.
Which one fucking one was in the 90s?
It says the right ear. It says the right ear. It says believe that men with the right ear. So they're saying they believe.
So that's the one you have.
It's just what felt natural to me.
Yeah.
That's good.
There's nothing wrong with it.
No, it's
Brandon.
There's nothing wrong with it.
He hates me now. He'll never
speak to me. Oh my gosh, man. I'm not homophobic.
Nobody said you were.
Yeah,
no, no. I remember you guys said something.
Episode?
Yeah, and I'm not.
No, you're not.
Thank you, man. No.
If it makes you feel any better, my in-laws really did not like me until we'd been married for like 2 or 3 years. Like damn. Once we had grandkids,
damn,
my in-laws came around to like, well, I guess they're not going anywhere, so we may as well embrace them. Oh, but well. Yeah, I was wrong. I was wrong for their daughter as far as
You guys are such a great couple.
Yeah. Yeah. Amy's awesome.
Yeah. And the motorcycle played a big part in that too. Dad wants their daughter's boyfriend to pull up on a motorcycle.
That's true.
They're dangerous as shit.
Yes, they are, man.
Because, you know.
What time did you have?
I got to have my phone, too.
What type did you have?
Motorcycle?
Yeah.
My first one was a Honda. It was old as hell. It had like 68,000 miles on it. It was an 02 Honda Shadow.
Oh, yeah.
And the lady that I bought it from lived in New Hope in a trailer. With like a very nice gravel driveway that leads up to the trailer. Mm. And imagine like a rich, like Victorian mansion with like the lined stone lions going up to the thing. But hers was a gravel driveway to a trailer lined by black caricature statues.
Oh, no.
With like red lips and like just actual black skin.
Beautiful. Yep. It's art.
Yep.
And
some parts of the country.
She sold me the bike. And gave me a helmet with it, and it had a wolf popping out of a Confederate flag.
Beautiful.
And on the other side, it said,
"Oh my God,
I deal with PMS, putting up with men's shit."
You got a Confederate woman's helmet.
Confederate feminist biker helmet.
That's amazing.
Alpha male Confederate feminist. No, I don't.
When you finally get back, finally get back into stand up, the title of your 1 hour special should be. Confederate woman feminist helmet motorcycle.
That's what I consider myself, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy, dude. They, girlfriend's dad's. How'd
she
look? Long story short.
Girl, you bought a
terrible.
She was terrible. Damn. No teeth, like rotten teeth.
I mean, not great. You wouldn't like it if she called you the N-word.
Yeah.
Because at a point, it's just mean. At a point, it's no longer sexual, and it's just mean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Damn it. She would have been a good one for it, though. Yeah. Does black hair? If I walked up to a girl's house
like
pretending
she
has black hair,
Buddha characters. With you of you outside.
Oh wow!
It's beautiful. I only could wish. Ain't that right, Brandon? Have you guys gotten into that?
No.
You guys haven't tried the race play?
No.
I figure how many times I tell that joke. I figure you guys will at least try it a couple times.
No. Wait till you come home in that tank top.
From this,
if your comedy,
so you gotta whip.
If your comedy is influencing the sexual behavior of the people in your sphere, then I have stumbled into something other than a podcast here. I didn't know I was here for a Branch Davidians meeting 20 years after Oklahoma City.
I got a whip though right down there from the skit we did. Man, I don't need any more.
You don't need it. I mean, we'll just
still,
to have
still
it.
Like, well, we might need it in the future, but I'm just saying you could take it home for a while, dry it out.
And just hit a tree.
No, we'll give it to Athena. She
No, I'm good. I don't want to get whipped.
I don't know what you like.
Nah, man, I'm good.
All right.
No.
I got to actually have it was for a Viking costume, but they could use it for a slave cropper. Oh, it's the same type of material.
Jeez.
No. I'm being serious. You got to try it,
man. No, I'm good. That's one map I don't want to spawn on. Like, you know, Call of Duty games, I'm good.
That was a good save.
Yeah, I like
that. That was a great save.
I like that.
That was a great save. Yeah, that was good. That was good.
We'll stay out of that map.
Hey, quick on your toes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Do another.
Another what?
Do another analogy.
Analogy? About what? Give me a scenario. About that?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's one foxhole I won't put my junk in, man. We'll stay back out of that.
That's good.
That's what they do.
That's good. Foxhole, we'll stay out of.
Junk first. That's how you get into. How do you get into a foxhole? Junk first.
Yeah.
Shoot me in the face, but not in the junk.
Yeah. That's a McDonald's I won't inspect.
Kitchen cops, hard
scrap. Motorcycle I won't ride.
There you go.
Yeah, that's good.
There you go. Hey, you know, you were talking about the dads who like had a bad reaction because they didn't want that. So my daughter in high school was like, "Hey, I'm really interested in motorcycles." She thought it was really cool. She was telling me how cool she thought motorcycles were, and I had a little panic attack because I was like, "Well, she must be talking to somebody." So I was like, oh, that's fantastic. You got a birthday coming up. Why don't we go get your motorcycle license? So we went up to Tennessee and we did 2 days of this motorcycle safety course. And, you know, you ride around, but you learn how to do all kinds of stuff, and you ride over 2x4s at speed and do all kinds of stuff to get your confidence going. And she, I got her helmet and got her a thing. And I even bought like another little motorcycle so we could ride together. As soon as she got the motorcycle license, not interested at all. But
good.
For, like, all of college, there's no D-bag who's going to come up and be like, hey, you want to ride on my motorcycle?
Yeah.
Like, she's just not going to be impressed by it. She's got it. She's like,
been there, done that.
Scratch the itch, been there, done that, whatever. And if she was going to get on the motorcycle, she could ride it. She could drive it if she needed to. You know, so she wouldn't get in a situation where some dude would get, like, drunk, and then she would have no choice but to, like, be left in some part of Birmingham or ride back, you know, DUI style in the back of the
car.
Smart.
Yeah, that's smart, because people die on motorcycles.
Man. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's just, and it's not even the person riding the motorcycle. It doesn't have to be their fault in the slightest. No. People are people just can't drive around here at all.
No.
These old people, we got to get them off the road somehow, some way.
75 and older.
It's not old.
Get them off.
Get them off. It's old.
No, Dan, don't you dare say it's not old people. I drive this motherfucker.
First of all, it is old
people. An hour a day.
Yes.
All right.
But look, when I'm riding the motorcycle, what I see more than anything is dudes with their phone like this. Like, who has a car now that the phone doesn't, like, at least connect to your speakers? Mm-hmm. Like, I got a 2002 where it connects to the speakers.
I know what type of people. I know you're talking about that.
But yeah, they got their phone right here and they're doing the thing and they're typing and they're reading or they're watching, you know, Clown College podcast.
Exactly. And that's what you should be doing while you're driving.
Yeah. All right. Turn this off. Video. Turn it off.
Yeah, you see it all the time, man.
The worst thing when I was riding was people throwing lit cigarettes out the window and they smack you in the face.
Oh my God.
Dude, it hurts when you have your visor up and it would hit you like in the cheek. That hurts, man.
Yeah, that's my bad. I
got hit by a bee one time.
A bee?
I guess I flew. I drove into a bee and it like hit me in the chest. I was like,
did it sting you? Like,
no, no, but it hurt.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It felt like it hit by a rock.
I've definitely taken some bug splats, like in the neck.
So disgusting.
In the throat. Man. Oh, man, it hurts.
What's the farthest you guys rode?
I did a motorcycle camping trip. So I went from here up to Tennessee, and then I drove down to Birmingham, and then down to Auburn, and then back on some roads. So that was it was like a three-day trip where I camped out three different nights and had dinner in different places, saw my kids and stuff like that. But that ended up being about, I don't know, 800 miles total.
That's good. It's good. 800 miles. That's a good
one. Over 3 days. Yeah. It was a lot of riding.
I
was done. I was ready to be done.
Fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't.
Man, it rained too, huh?
Oh, it did.
Damn.
It rained so much, man. And that's where, when you're on a motorcycle, you feel like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to play it as it goes. You know, I don't need to have a plan. I don't need to know where I'm going to stay tonight.
You're on a fucking motorcycle.
Yeah, exactly. But then when it gets dark before you're ready and all of a sudden you're in the middle of nowhere, Alabama, the last thing you want to do is pull your motorcycle off into the woods in some place you don't know where you are and camp out.
Yeah.
That just feels dangerous.
Hey, boy. What are you doing on my property?
See, that's bad.
It's a pretty pony you got there.
Yeah, man. How about you, JJ? Where's the furthest you went?
Not 800 miles. I did the Dragon's Tail, though.
Did you? Now, that's amazing.
Yeah.
In North Carolina?
This was a different one. I was in Tennessee.
Okay.
Dragon something. But it's just a whole bunch. It's like a really curvy road. It's like 13.1 miles of consecutive, like, curve in the road.
That's awesome.
But that was fun. But that was only, like, 250 miles, maybe.
Yeah.
It was a one-day thing.
250 miles still ain't that long.
Yeah, that's a long.
The average motorcycle rider puts 500 miles on their bike a year.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I first got my motorcycle, I wanted to ride it everywhere. So like, I would go play basketball inside in a gym in winter and then leave, and I'd be like sweat, just frozen. I couldn't even like barely shift. Dude, I would wear shorts, t-shirts. I did not give a fuck.
Damn, man.
That's insane.
So you didn't cover
I got out. I got
that's
out.
See, your daughter was you don't want to date somebody like that. Damn. Think about it, guys.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, yeah, I've had a motorcycle for 3 months. I'm basically ready to have people on the back.
Yeah.
I actually did. I waited a long ass time. But,
There's a couple of documentaries with the guy, Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, you know? Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, and they where he rode, the first one was like 20 years ago. They did this documentary. It's called The Long Way Round, where they ride from Scotland all the way around across Europe. They take a ferry across to Alaska and then all the way across the U.S. and then back over to Scotland. So they go around the world on their motorcycles. And there's another one, like The Long Way Down, where they go through from Scotland all the way down to the tip of Africa, like just the whole way down the world. To me, that looks amazing. Like, yeah. I would really love to do that, even if it wasn't like a huge distance.
You would
like
do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would. You would do that. You would and you would complete it too. Yeah. It sounds so miserable to me. I mean, oh my God, nothing I would less. I don't know if there's anything I would want to do less than what you just explained right now.
I love the whole idea of like just pulling into a little tiny town in the middle of nowhere that's hardly even on the map and meeting people and trying to figure out border crossings. Yeah. I think it would be good.
Oh, that's
fun. I love that stuff.
You say Africa too. Can you lock it?
What's that? Oh, at the bike?
Yeah, can you lock it?
Lock the forks.
Roll down, roll up the window. Just little tiny windows come up.
But you have like an adventure bike, don't you?
Yeah, a little one though. Not the big ones like they do. Just I'm still kind of learning.
Yeah, you got a Harley though, right?
It's on road, off road. No, it's a Kawasaki.
Kawasaki. Oh, okay. Yeah. Kawasaki. You got to have at least a 12, right?
No, it's a 300. It's small. Yeah, it's small. I look like a circus bear on a bicycle.
Yeah, I was going to say, how the fuck do you
fit? Yeah, it's the first motorcycle I ever owned. So I got it during the pandemic, and I was like, I'm going to learn to ride before I started doing comedy.
Okay, that took the place.
After I broke my back. Yeah, it's a Kawasaki Versys, V-E-R-S-Y-S. That's it over there on the right-hand side.
Oh, right here?
Yeah, the Versys X3. Well, yeah, I mean.
Oh, there it is. No, nope. The Spokane. Hold up. Let's see.
Nope, to the left. The green one.
Oh, right here? Or this one?
Yeah, similar to the one you just had.
Oh, okay. Let's go back to that.
Yeah. It's like that one.
Huh. That's nice.
Yeah.
I'm just learning.
That is nice, though.
That's more. I think that's
that, though. That's what I'm saying.
That's a Ninja. If you keep spelling in the bar, V E R S Y S, it's the same engine as the Ninja, but it's the gearing is different. And yeah, like see the one on the top row, all the way to the right.
Right here.
Yeah, one to the left. There you go. That one.
All right.
That's what I have.
Damn, but it's a scooter.
No, it looks like it, but
man,
yeah. I would ride that.
It's like in between like a sport and a touring
kind. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. They call it an ADV style bike. And so I've got like an 80-20 tire on the back, so I can ride trails and stuff like that. Hmm. I don't have the big saddlebag things in the back or whatever.
Mm.
Yeah. I could not really take mine off-road, dude. I had an 883.
Okay, yeah.
And that is not going off-road, man.
Yeah, but that one doesn't wobble at interstate speed. So, like, with the bike I have, it'll go 75, but it's not a comfortable 75.
Oh, yeah, for real. Yeah. I pass Alex going with his van. I think it, what does it go, like, 55? What's the comfortable speed?
It'll comfortably 55.
55, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can tell when I'm behind.
Even when it goes 67, it doesn't seem like.
The speed limit in Japan on most of their highways is 80 kph, which is 55 miles an hour. So that's perfect.
What I meant.
Good time fact.
He just gave a good time fact about Japan to you.
Yeah.
He's so joyful about it.
You're welcome.
That's good. I like that.
Ask me another question.
Isn't Texas?
You have me on this show once every 18 months. Oh, you may as well ask me.
Dan, you got. Ask you can AI come back anytime you want. You're the fucking bad.
Hell yeah, man.
Well, Brandon, what you got?
Man, like a question to ask Dan?
Yes.
No, not really.
No, yes.
Man, hold on. Let me think of something like a. Let's see, something that
advice you need.
Advice that I need. All right, man. Let's see. Damn, this is a good one. Let me think of something.
It's your only chance.
This is my only chance. That's why I'm trying to think of a good one. Hold on, man. So
dig deep.
Damn, let me dig deep. Dig deep. All right, so I guess
If I could travel anywhere, mm-hmm. where would be like the best spot to live and like live how I want to live?
Okay.
All right. I don't know. We'll make it Thailand.
Well, there's a lot of variables in that.
Gonna ask if I could live one place, where would it be?
No. Okay, so are you saying if you were gonna live in a different place, where would you travel to live?
Yeah, or
where do you want to live to be able to travel?
A good place to travel that's affordable. You can you don't have to struggle. Like, I mean, you
are you talking about living or traveling?
Let's see, living.
Living.
Oh, living.
Living.
There you go.
Living.
Okay, well, let me start by saying you live in one of the best areas of the country.
Okay, then good. Right now. We're already here. This the best? No, okay. I mean, it's the best.
If you don't want to struggle, I tell you what, this is a pretty comfortable place to be.
That's good.
I've lived enough places to know what we have here.
Mm-hmm. Hell yeah.
Our local government is not overly corrupt. We got issues in our state that we got to deal with, like private prisons.
Abortion. Bring that shit back. We got some
issues. You know, every society could be better, but it's generally affordable, and there's jobs to be had, and you can get a fair shake here. I mean, as much as you can anywhere.
Wait, here is the best?
I'm not saying the best, but
he did ask.
He said if
you
don't want to struggle.
Yeah. Best,
he doesn't want to struggle. He wants to have a good living situation.
So, like, we always think of the coastal places, but I grew up in the hurricane zones, and I'm telling you, man, I still have family that has to, like, pack up and evacuate once every 2 years.
See?
And that's a kind of struggle. You don't realize what it does to you when you have to pack up everything you own that you care about, throw it in your car, and get out of town in the middle of the night. And then come back 2 weeks later and deal with flood damage and all that kind of stuff. It just changes your whole outlook on life. So I wouldn't live in the coastal zones that are like in hurricane zones.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, if you're in a coastal zone that's not in a hurricane zone, but it's like a nice place to be, then you got to deal with tourists and tourist prices and real estate prices are out of whack. I think, you know, it just depends on, okay. I would turn around and ask you, what's most important to you in terms of your quality of life? What do you value the most?
I guess a really good place that would be good for a first responding place. Like where you could work and like do really good on that.
What?
Yeah. Well, right. So then the question is, what do you mean good for first responders? Where you see a lot of action?
Where you get the most work and the most benefits. Like, I mean, the best.
The most work and the most benefits will be a big city.
Big
city? That means you're going to see some crazy stuff. You're going to see a lot more gunshot wounds. You're going to see acts of terrorism. You're going to see mass casualty events.
True.
You're going to see, crazy stuff. You're going to have to go into. It's one thing to go into a house fire or a 2-story apartment that's on fire. It's another thing to go into a 12-story building that might collapse.
True.
Or to go into an industrial facility that's got hazardous chemicals and the whole place may go up in one single bomb. Mm-hmm. Right.
True.
Like guys in Houston see a lot of stuff if you're like emergency management in Houston. But man, I don't know that. If you were an adrenaline junkie, maybe. If that's what you're looking for.
Are you an adrenaline junkie?
I don't know.
If you want to have an impact in people's lives,
yes, I do.
As an emergency person, like a place like this is not a bad one. There's a 50-50 chance that the next time I'm riding my motorcycle, it's going to be you trying to stop the bleeding and get me onto a backboard and
put me on the thing. Yeah. That's actually 100% right.
Which is why I might sell my motorcycle.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just throwing it.
I love you, man.
They're going to think Dan's racist.
No, I don't want him doing it. No, man.
I'm not racist. I'm just a fan of the podcast. I've heard too much.
Yes. Good.
I've seen too much.
Thank you, man. Anybody else got questions?
No, I already asked.
Okay, what about you, JJ? Some advice.
I mean, mine is just same as all the financial stuff we talked about earlier.
Man,
I'm experiencing these bills for the first time. Dude.
Yeah,
stuff is expensive.
Oh, they're about to get in your ass
stuff
real quick.
Expensive. Oh, dude.
But when it's really going to open your eyes is whenever something fucks up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be like your car, like, bam. Right.
Yeah.
I need, you said how
That's
much? And then, you know, if you're lucky, it's like under insurance, you only have to pay $500. But even that can set you back, you know. And then you got something that they won't cover, and it's going to be something like that, and you'll be like, I don't even know how people do
That's
this
right.
shit.
Dude, I just paid my car insurance today.
So expensive.
Well,
and then so, you'll get a relief off that in a couple of
months. Yeah. And so you get, right, when you turn 25, if you can keep a clean driving record, your rates will come way, way down.
I don't have any speeding tickets or anything.
So that's good. So just keep doing that. And the other thing, too, is your car gets a little older, it'll be easier to insure. But you think of total cost of ownership, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not just the price of the car, but it's what does it do to everything else. Like I got friends who are in German cars, but then like you got to have this – everything's precious when it comes to getting oil change or mm-hmm. you got to get like a new timing belt. Just you can't just take it to
anything,
to Clem Tire and have them fix that stuff. You got to go to the specialty shop with the specialty thing. So the cost of every single thing is more.
Yeah.
And then insurance, right? Like if you buy a $50,000 car – versus a $19,000 car, the insurance is triple compared because the replacement value, and it's mm-hmm. more likely to be stolen, right? So everything's more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, I was buying like expensive cars when I was trying to get, you know, these madams of the night sluts, Mike's wife. And then, but I'm saying when you try to, you know, when you're trying to be cool, I guess is the thing, you know, I had this expensive, like the Beamer 5 Series. And that was badass. Fucking insurance was out the roof.
Yeah.
Car payment, you're paying like $400 or $500. Well, no, some people with like shitty credits paying way more, but like $500 for some shit. And you got to pay insurance on top of that, plus pay for rent.
Damn.
That's just dumb. Go get you a Honda Accord, and that's a good car.
Honda Accord.
Right? It's a solid car, and you trade it in right before 100,000 miles.
Hmm. Bam. What year?
Trade it in before 100,000 miles.
I would even think a Honda, you're good to.
You are good, but some of these new.
You get a 150, 175 at least.
You are good to that. That's why the resale value yeah. you can get in before 100, and then you can go get you just recycle that.
Yeah. And then you know if you're buying a car, you buy 2 years used until you can afford to pay cash for a new car, because you don't pay the depreciation when you buy a 2 year used car.
Mm-hmm. Now, Brandon, you've been in my car a lot, so you know. But go ahead and look at the interior.
Man, yeah, I could. I could deal with that.
And deal with that, right? Look, that's the future, dude.
That's better than what I got now. So well, I mean, I could do that.
It's all the future.
Jeez,
AI cars.
That's coming, dude. AI is about to take over everything. You know
yeah.
that.
So right? I get it.
I mean, it's not even close to being there. Like it's going to in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
The change will be.
There's gonna
insane.
Be so many people out of work, dude.
And you know,
we're
like
doing we haven't even started to grapple with stuff. What that's gonna mean. That's right.
It's like
entire industries of people
gone
have nothing. To
Why do you
with
need
them?
Them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why do you need accountants?
Why do you need them? You damn sure don't need that.
You don't need an accountant now, right?
In fact, what are they doing eating our food?
That's right. Yeah. Like it's so many jobs that you can do with that with so much faster. You know what I'm saying? More accurate. We had, at this one job a long time ago, and I don't work at now. We had a guy send out checks like all these people, $500,000, and didn't have routing numbers on them. Wow. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
You know who wouldn't do that?
Yeah, right.
True.
Right.
So you're going to, I mean, it's just a mistake. It can happen to anybody. Not really, shouldn't. But it can happen to anybody. And then, like, with something like that, AI is not going to make that mistake. It's just going to make more sense for an owner of something to utilize that, only use humans for, you know, the things that they can only do.
This is exactly the point. I don't want to live in a world without mistakes.
Same here.
I don't want to live in a world that's perfect. I think it's going to be a frightening, claustrophobic, bland, horrible, meaningless existence that. We need the dirty stuff of human existence. We need the miscommunications, the misconnects. I promise you I'm going to do something, I don't do it. You know, I make mistakes. Because all of that is the stuff of humanity.
Yeah.
True.
After that, what do we want? It's crazy.
They're going to make up things.
I feel like, I don't know, I wonder whether live performance will have a resurgence once people come to understand like what the disconnect will be once robots have replaced so much of what people are doing. Mm-hmm. When people are reading novels that are written by AI, that's crazy. Why? Yeah. Why would you do it?
Made by AI.
Absolutely.
What you like, and it'll tell you about it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, and the ones that really scare me, somebody talked about it the other night at at Alex's show at Fat Sammy's, the Black Panther Hidden Dragon. Somebody talked about it. They didn't really have a joke yet, but they were their premise. They were ranting about this trend where it's mostly women right now, but they have these chat relationships
mm-hmm.
with an AI boyfriend.
Yeah.
And the boyfriend tells them what they want to hear, tells them, you know, I'm sorry you had a hard day. Tell me more about what your boss said to you. You know, you're worth it. You're valid. You're amazing. You know, I never get tired of listening to you. And no, like all the things that like a girlfriend needs to hear, this chatbot is like mm-hmm. really good at it. And it'll send emojis and stuff to give her all the stuff that she needs. And it can go into sexting, right? So then the whole thing starts to be sexting. It'll send pictures, that like sexed pictures, right? Mm-hmm. And so there are girls that, and there's like articles in the New York Times that I've read about this, where girls have like actual relationships, like multi-year relationships now with chatbots. I think what that's going to do to human interaction and the very fabric of our society is going to tear us apart.
Maybe Elon Musk is right.
It's going
to get weird. Elon might be right about the population thing. I thought he was full of shit. But that is right. People are going to stop fucking.
Yeah.
It's too messy. If you don't value the mess, it's too messy to try to actually risk everything mm-hmm. and have a meaningful human interaction.
Yeah.
Aren't they offering money for people to have kids right now?
Yeah. Well, yeah, they said they're talking about it.
It's really hard.
Yeah, they're like, no.
Yeah, man. Mm. And aren't y'all worried about, like, possibly in the future, maybe AI being able to control itself, where it's like somebody will try to shut it down, it won't let it, it'll just start making more of itself and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah.
Because they've already had, like, situations. No, like
we're
that.
Almost there. We're almost there at the point where.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I say please and thank you when I ask AI to do something.
Did you read that article that said that costs OpenAI millions of dollars a year?
What?
People saying please and thank you.
Hell no.
I don't care. I'm saving my ass,
dude. Me too.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to get on the wrong side of our future overlords.
Yeah, that would be terrifying.
But the AI is going to be broken up into like gangs, though. You know, like systems of the government. They're not all the same. Each of them have different information, and they can blackmail you. They could blackmail me right now. I asked them some shit. I said, "Can you delete this whole thread forever?" And they said, "We keep it for 30 days." Even after you delete it.
What was the conversation before that?
Well, no.
Can you delete this forever?
No, I'll tell you guys later. But I didn't ask it anything yet. I asked it. I said, "What happens?" I was like, "Can I ask you a question and you delete the thread right after I ask it?" And they're like, "We cannot delete threads." All right. We cannot delete threads. And then
that tells you something right there.
Yeah. And then they were like, if you delete it and you change your settings, it will be deleted from like your, so you can see it, but it'll be there for 30 to 60 days for law enforcement or anything like that. Swear to God.
Damn.
So they're snitches, but they got good information on there.
It's dangerous. So we have really gone into some dark territory on today's comedy podcast. Yeah,
that's a lot.
I feel responsible. Phil,
this is what it is.
I feel responsible.
This is what it is. AI is going to take over. They're going to show all the Brandon secrets.
Hey, I think I texted you. I texted you one time. I was listening to Clown College while I was driving. I didn't have it on video. It wasn't on YouTube. I was just the podcast. And it had gotten way late. I had been down in Florida seeing my dad. I was on some dark country road for most of the way up. I finally got back to a part of the interstate, or got onto the interstate, and then got to a truck stop. So I just needed to kind of like close my eyes for a little bit and catch up. So I fell asleep listening to the podcast, and my dreams went sideways. Damn, I was having these weird kind of Inception dreams. The world was upside down. And I woke up, and it was Brandon talking to Pat Gray.
Oh shit.
And I was like, "What?" And y'all were talking about something so insane. I was like, I just had to hit pause,
man,
and go inside and see the lady behind the counter at the truck stop, just to like make sure I was back in like reality. I was like, "Hey, can you punch me in the face just to make sure I'm still alive?"
Oh my god, that's
crazy. Crazy dreams.
You're like, what do you mean, punch you in the face? Like.
Patrick.
Like punching the eye.
Damn, man.
Yeah.
Right. I love you, Pat.
Man, we all
he do. Does.
I guess me and Dan.
We all love you, Pat, baby. All right, Dan, the ghostly Muhammad Ali means we reached our time. I fucked that up. Because I had vodka.
He is a ghost now. So
I've had vodka. It's been a long day. It's been a long weekend. All right. Don't judge me, Brandon.
Nobody's judging you, man. And congratulations, and everybody raise a glass to Dom running a paid set at Levity Live.
Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
Applaud for you.
I'll show you my payment when we get out
there.
Hell
yeah. In front of an actual audience.
Jake would also like an invoice.
Yeah.
Anything you got going on? This will be out in
We got a couple of shows coming up May 9th. And then again, July 11th, our Friday night shows where I'm doing 30 minutes.
Homegrown comedy show.
At Straight to Ale here in Huntsville. And then I'm going to be on the Fat Jams at Interspace Brewing on, I think, May 17th. And then, you know, open mic's a go-go. And, you know, I'm available for hire for corporate events and weddings and bat mitzvahs.
A beast at it.
Yeah, whatever.
And it'll be fun. It won't be like a weird. Yeah.
Yeah. and there's probably some sketch comedy stuff coming up, too. I know there's a bunch of things ramping up at,
yeah, we're doing, at Shenanigans. You're Charlie.
What's that?
You're Charlie on one of our skits. You're another. Oh, I can't
believe. We've made a couple of skits. We had this entire conversation without talking about the one video sketch that will haunt me for the rest of my life.
It will, but it'll be so good. Like, it's going to be good. Scotty said I constructed
a stage character that is clean,
mm-hmm,
and is very much a father figure, because that's sort of where I'm at in life.
Yeah.
And this goes against type.
Yeah, it goes against type all the way, because it's a Clown College production.
when do you think that's going to launch? Are you going to launch it on a show?
You just got to do that other scene. Yeah. But we're going to release it as a short, too.
Okay.
You know, like, it's because that one's going to be less than a minute. I mean,
it should be 90 seconds.
Yeah, or whatever the threshold is, I'm pretty sure it'd be under that, because it's bang, bang, bang funny. So okay. That's fun. That's good.
You think
shit.
It's funny? How did you think it went?
No, I legit think it's funny. I thought it's funny the whole time. As long as you got down, you had to get. See, I don't know what Scott was going for, but I wanted your face to be like you're being brave.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're like you were thinking, but we got both, so we got you being like, hey, you know, I'll do it. But I thought it would be funnier being brave, but I don't know, I might be wrong, and we'll see whenever we edit it. But
it was what I thought was great about that was, I got the script 2 hours before we did it. We did an open mic, we did the showcase,
mm-hmm,
and then we went in an alley behind the place and shot it. And everybody kind of knew their role. We did multiple takes and got it done. Got it out. It didn't feel like kind of high school guys trying to pull something together. It felt like people who saw the vision wanted, mm-hmm, to knock it out. We were out. It was good.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is fun. First of all, it's going to be funny. I don't give a fuck who you are. If you watch
What'd your friend think? Was he shaking his head on the way home like,
No. He loved it. He was like, damn, that shit was cool. And he, first of all, I told him we were doing it, right? He's on the phone getting ready to come down.
Okay.
So he lives in like outside of town where him and my other boy Jermaine they were driving up here. So he's going in town to his mama's house. Okay. I didn't know that. He had me on speakerphone. I'm like, oh, and we're gonna shoot the skit, and I told him the premise of the skit.
Yeah.
He was like, my mama right here. She was like, hey, Dominique. I was like, ow. I was like, it's not my skit. It's not my skit. I didn't write it. Yeah.
What did she think of the idea? She thought it was funny or no?
She ain't laughed. No.
That's right.
No, she laughed. She thought it was funny.
That's right.
All right. Well,
hey, thanks for having me up.
Hell yeah, baby.
Thanks for being here, man.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
Hell yeah.
Hate Scrappy Doo.